Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Lake Potter, Alan Hunt, Carissa Bloom, Katie Bowling, Isabel Evangelista, Philip Goodboy, Olivia Pugh, M. Amber Knoll, Jose Ignacio Asimposo, Tides Podcast. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hello and welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. Today we're doing a metacast and I am your host, Bryn Monroe, and with me I have...
Lydia Nicholas,
Helen Gould,
Alex Neal,
and Ben Meredith. And we are not recording a normal episode today, so we're not introducing any characters. This is a behind-the-scenes metacast, and we're going to be talking about party changes.
Change is bad. All change is bad.
I like same.
Is exactly the attitude you should not have.
Thank you, Ben. So, we've reached the end of season two, guys. Aww. But we're about to start season three!
Yay!
Because as you all know, we have really upbeat ends of seasons.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we're in a really good mood.
Yeah, we like to end things on a high.
I had a writing tutor who said that characters should suffer in order for their growth to matter. So I figured that if you all are just basically suffering the entire time, it's the best characters ever.
Then by the end of this, I will be a giant redwood.
Yes. Maximum growth. And that's the sound when Helen suddenly realises something and vocalises that moment.
Over the course of the last few episodes, you'll have heard the direct sound of all of our brains realising things.
Oh!
I just got there.
Yeah. So, we went through some pretty big changes in season two.
Yeah.
First,
sprouted and everything. Had new feelings.
I'm thinking about dwarves in a really different way.
My beard started growing.
Began to smell. Or was that just me?
Or it's anyone who comes in this studio for any of time.
Yeah.
So the first thing that happened was our dear friend Zolf Smith left the party.
For all of the right
His
reasons.
His second name is Smith.
Yeah.
No, see,
that's is that
yet,
funny?
Yes, yet more reason why, because it was kind of implied that Smith was a separate name that was taken on after the whole Harlequin thing.
Well, so I mean, to be honest,
even that's kind of up for grabs.
I chose it personally. Ben chose it because his family is from near the River Severn.
Yes.
On the banks of the River Severn. So? In the West Country. But it's so Smith is a...
Oh, like a blacksmith.
Well, I didn't want him to be called like Zolf Hammerhand, Forge Master.
That's exactly what you should call.
No, people have normal surnames. No.
Except they don't, it turns out.
Well, all right, apparently they don't.
So Zolf Smith was replaced by Grizzop Act Drak Amsterdam.
Grizzop Drik Act Amsterdam.
I say wrong every single time.
It means Grizzop of Clutch 8 in Amsterdam.
Cool. And then we had an even more dramatic change as our very dear friend James Ross left the podcast completely. Yeah.
For baby reasons.
Again, for all of the right reasons.
Yeah, like, his life is just child.
He's dead to me, and I'm sad about that.
Yeah. We're all speaking sadly about the man who's happily married and making a home with him and his wife and his newborn son, who is happy and healthy.
And his beloved comedy show.
It's all going
like,
his
second
so well. Child.
He's very busy with running successful gigs, having a baby, changing jobs, moving house, and
so basically
within a year.
So basically he's too good for us.
He's too good for
us.
A moment of silence for poor James Ross's wonderful life.
Oh.
But you know who's not too good for you?
Me!
So yes, as you've probably worked out by now, as we've now announced, we've got a new regular cast member for season 3. We're joined by the wonderful Helen Gould.
Yes.
Her debut appearance on the Beowulf Barbarian special.
I don't remember.
So
her
much
anything.
Fun. So much fun. We had to have her back.
I mean, she turned up, but then I don't remember much of consequence happening.
Ooh, maybe it was Mr. Sealing.
Maybe something happened. Yeah, I've got no idea what happened.
It will forever be a mystery.
Much like what happened to all of those gnomish bodies in that village.
Yeah.
That poor village.
So, Rusty Quill is a podcast, but it's also just a long-running role-playing campaign. And it's been running a while now. We've been doing 3 years?
2015.
Yeah, 3 years or something. So, you know, if you run a role-playing game that goes for that sort of length of time, these sort of things are inevitable. You will have characters who want to leave.
Or die.
And or the characters may die.
Or retire.
And some of the people within your group may have lives.
Yeah. You know,
wonderful, wonderful.
People
lives.
Move
wonderful
away. You may need to replace them. So we thought we'd talk about the process. We thought we'd talk about the processes we went through, and just look behind the scenes for what we do, but also might help you if you're running your own game and have to navigate some of these same issues. So the first thing that happened was the party fell apart.
Yep.
And this was very much not an out of character problem. Like, and I have been in role playing parties where that happens. No fun for anyone. This was an in character problem. So, Ben, it was you, Zolf, and Bertie essentially reached a point where you realised you just couldn't continue in the same adventuring group. So, what made you think that it was an absolutely final kind of thing that you just couldn't see a way to repair it?
Well, I mean, Zolf was a good person, and Bertie was fundamentally a bad person.
It's kind of true. Yeah,
that's a good answer, Ben.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you for being candid.
Yeah, it was basically the point where, so through sort of natural role play and playing to our characters, Zolf basically tried to murder Bertie, at which point Bertie challenged him to a duel. Now, the thing about that is that Bertie would almost certainly win that duel.
And duels are utterly ridiculous?
Duels are utterly ridiculous. But he'd win that duel, which would cause the death of Zolf.
Yeah, and I don't think we could have continued the game at all if main character had killed another one of the main characters
on
purpose.
As well, it wasn't that it's not that we shied away from the possibility of Bertie killing Zolf. It's just that doesn't fit as a thing for Zolf to do. Like, he's not that stupid. Like, there are choices that we've made as a group that are like, okay, sometimes my character does something stupid. Like, I mean, speaking as someone that plays someone that has been exploded through a wall several times. Like, sometimes our characters do something stupid, but in this particular case, it's just like,
that's just not going to happen. So basically what happened is, after that, we all went, well, so that was our session. And me and James and I had a chat about who was best to leave, because one of the party members was going to have to leave.
Yeah, we basically... basically knew at that point that one of the two characters would have to leave. We were certainly anticipating keeping all four of the same players at that point. So, Alex, you're the GM, so naturally this kind of decision-making has to go through you for at least to an extent. So why did you decide to keep the lovely Zol Smith with the really interesting, complex backstory, which you explored some of, we're about to explore more of? Why did you decide to get rid of that character and keep the incredibly racist, offensive character that everyone hated?
Classist.
What led you?
Every ist. Imagine an ist, and he is
misogynist,
that
misogynist, but
what,
also...
What led you to that decision, Alex?
I think he basically sees men as pretty pieces of meat. he objectifies all men, and he scorns all women.
I think what it comes down to, really, is that I most identified with Bertie. All I could possibly do is fill the podcast and the story with more people like me. Yeah. I think that, no. So a good chunk of this, you might over-ascribe sort of power to me in this regard. Because if there's one thing that you need to learn if you're a GM, you do not make party and players do what you want. There is a name for that medium. It's called writing a book. It works really well. They do whatever you say. It's amazing.
Often it's a solo activity rather than a group thing.
I'm just saying it works really well. But in this case, whilst I had a sense, and because I have all of the plot hooks and I know what's sort of going on further down the line and so on, whilst I know what would be easier of the two choices, and I will be candid, it would have been easier if it was Bertie that headed off, because shocker, Bertie brought the most controversy to the group. But it isn't, as a GM, my job to decide who stays and who goes, unless it literally breaks the game. My only job is to make sure that the game doesn't break in that scenario and make sure that the story continues to play out.
And there have been a lot of... So we had a rule for Bertie, or rather James did, which was like zero growth. So he was not...
No learning, no hugging, no...
Yeah, no learning, no...
No forgiveness?
No forgiveness.
It's taken from the Seinfeld Writer's Bible. Yeah. It was one of their rules for writing Seinfeld, was the characters couldn't learn or grow.
Yeah.
Whereas
Zolf... That's why I never watched it.
Yeah.
Whereas Zolf was going through a lot of really interesting crises of faith, but they were beginning to, like, tear away from the actual purpose of the mission. So there was something really meaty there. Like I actually think that if Zolf had been the one that stayed, it would have felt kind of weird about the character. Like, this person that I've been having so many crises of, like, is what we're doing right? Is what I'm doing with my life right? That he would have
stopped. Whereas Bertie had no such compunction.
No worries at all.
So that is basically the thing. Like, I already had an idea for what I'd like to play. It was also an element of I didn't like playing a prepared caster. I think.
Yeah, so you weren't having that much fun.
Oh, no. I was having fun. I was just being annoyed and not preparing spells in the best way possible, which is what a cleric should really be doing.
But there were also certain things about Zolf that you were finding a bit frustrating in terms of the mechanical side of the character.
Yeah, so we had an idea as well, because he was losing his faith, we were actually going to have him sort of convert potentially to become a cleric of, I think it's like teamwork or friendship, something saccharine.
Moving from Poseidon to My Little Pony is actually quite an organic move.
What's that? You want horses? Ha! They're all with me. We're all going to the farm where
magic
all of the dogs
horses.
Go. But it's a real farm and it's a real place and I can go there.
Yeah,
so I was happy to keep playing Zolf, but as Lyd said, it made sense for the character.
Yeah.
Like everything the character cared about, so their god and also the fact they work for the meritocrats, and then suddenly, turns out your whole family were a member of resistance against the meritocrats. Mm. So it just worked more naturally, whereas Bertie's motivation of I need to be heroic made sense for him to stick around.
Yeah. What Bertie had from a story structure, nothing to do with like character and nuance perspective, was that Bertie had a very elegant way of forcing him to stay with the adventure as long as possible, which was, it literally matters not one whit what happens with your character. They have to do this or they end up in, eternal poo dimension. It's a useful thing. Like, there's a rule that I was always given, which I don't like playing in evil campaigns, for instance. Like, I can dip into it, but it doesn't really particularly appeal to me. But I do know that when you're doing that, every single person needs a reason not to betray one another and immediately go off on one. And that's kind of what Bertie brought to it. With Zolf, his reason for adventuring, whilst a lot more nuanced, was also a lot less ironclad.
Well, to be fair, it's because Alex systematically beat it up.
I want it on the record that I had it all. I was like, all right, I'm going to give Zolf utter misery and then I'm going to back off and see how he grows stronger.
So he misplayed that one.
Alternatively,
but we respect his craft.
Or alternatively, what happened is that Zolf left the party so that I could control how he grows and maintain absolute control of that art forever.
Yeah, that is also one other thing is that, so personally, I think the most interesting thing a character can do is leave, whether it's through death or anything like that, because the reactions of the other characters, it often spurs on much more interesting stories. And just giving Zolf to Alex to control is also really interesting, because I'm actually excited to see what he does with him.
Yeah, Ben now has three living characters in universe.
And they're all going to meet.
Yeah, we're definitely going to find a time for Ben to play three characters simultaneously. That will absolutely happen.
In a GM-less game, they're just going to be in a pub and force a two-hour Patreon-only recording.
You're absolute all monsters.
And the fact that that's out there now, like, our most engaged listeners are now on a quiz.
Tjelvar Storsnason.
Ah.
From the side quest.
The orc archaeologist.
Yep. Swedish orc archaeologist, I think.
Right, so Alex, you mentioned earlier there's a few different ways for a character to leave once you've decided that's necessary. So I guess your options are, what, death, becoming an NPC, retirement, which is sort of the same. What was your choice exactly for Zolf and why?
Okay, so again, this one was made very much with Ben. Like you were saying, there's death is... it's a tricky one to pull off well and satisfying. And again, there were no moments coming up where Zolf could die. And frankly, his arc didn't...
It was just like, oh, look, you were doing this interesting thing. Oh, it's over. Like,
yeah, it's... It can be a very satisfying way of removing a character from a game or from a story, but the thing you've got to bear in mind is it's not a kill switch, if you'll pardon the pun. You can't just go, end of character, boing! Like, that. Characters have ripples beyond their effects, and you can't just do that immediately. The NPCing one is one that I find more interesting, which is, yeah, literally, the player goes, I am no longer going to play this character. But they should not be removed from this world. They are still an active agent in it, but I now hand it over to you. So what that means for me is that Zolf is now an agent in the world that is not controlled by Ben. But I have a few tips for people who want to do that, one of which is that have a discussion with the player. And normally what I will get them to do is give me three sort of goals for that character. In an ideal world, it'd be a want and a need, but... Number one is, what is that character going for right now? What is it they want? Do they want loads of money? Whatever. Need, you should already know, but what does that character need in terms of, yeah, they want loads of money, but do they actually want loads of money so that they can be rich and then make their daddy love them because he's so proud of them for being rich? Whatever. And then the last one is a bonus one, which is, it's better to have a wild card. So, for instance, they could want all of the money in the world in order to make daddy proud, but also secretly, they're just mad for horses and they want to move to that farm with all of the horses. But my point is that you have enough components to then, okay, what would Zolf do in this situation off screen?
Did I actually give you any of those?
I noted them down as we were talking. You pinned down the first two and then I picked the third one for you because I was aware what it needed to be.
Yeah, and personally also I'm...
It was the horses. Was spoiler.
Zolf's going to turn up with like 40 legs. They're just going to be all over. It's going to be a horrible abomination.
Oh my gosh, you'll get the horse of Odin with 8 legs.
Yeah.
Riding in.
But personally as well, I'm perfectly happy to give carte blanche because once you retire a character, in my opinion, they're not your property anymore. And I've set enough up, so
See, and I always tend to separate out, which can cause confusion, retiring as being separate from making a character an NPC, because for me, retiring is where the player says, I don't want to play this character anymore, and I do not want them to be an active player in this world. I don't want to run into them having set up an orphanage or
whatever. So the character literally may go and live on a farm.
Yeah, the character...
not get involved in anything plot-based
anymore.
I mean,
this is very Sherlock Holmes keeping bees.
Yes,
absolutely. That's genuinely it.
Definitely bees. Stop telling me about the mysteries. Bees! All about the bees!
And yeah, so
all about the bees. About the bees. About the bees.
Buttery biscuit bees.
Or it's Skywalker on his tiny island.
Yeah.
I'm on an island.
And that is another retired character.
Monsters.
Yeah, you can bring back a character from retirement, but generally speaking, again, as a GM,
has to be a quest.
There's a reason that your player asked for the character to be retired instead of becoming an NPC. Bringing them back, you better have a real good reason for going, I understand what you say as a player, but I also think you're wrong.
Whereas I'm perfectly happy for Zolf to come back. I'm perfectly happy for him to become my primary character again once he has, like, you know, good reasons. Unfortunately, this has set up the whole three character.
I've
shot myself in the foot.
And then I'll kill Chrisop and there'll be four.
So,
but Chrisop will be dead.
Speaking of which, Ben, that meant you needed a new character. So what went into your... it's very different creating a character at the beginning of a campaign versus creating a character to join an existing group. Now, obviously, you'd already been playing with that group. So what kind of considerations went into the process behind you making Chrisop?
Don't want to prepare spells. Don't want to prepare something, Alex. Please, anything. Just don't make me prepare.
Would you like to play a... I don't want any rules at all.
No rules.
Would you like to play a blank piece of paper, please?
So what I did was choose a paladin who is only a sort of prepared spell caster. Because, you know, Pathfinder has a lot of prepared spell casting in it. Now, one of the things
you
was...
You lead the horse to water.
Yeah. Well, no, but with that, we were losing our primary healer. I was... pretty much had to play another healer. I didn't want to play another cleric. But I also, because I played a cleric who was really unsure of his faith, I wanted to play somebody who was very sure of his faith.
Like the inverse of it. Yeah.
Basically reversing that character. And for like the other party dynamics, as well as fitting that mechanical role of, you know, still being able to deal damage and mainly healing, I also wanted to create a character that didn't particularly steal people's thunder and just fit in. So I needed a character who... had a set of goals which made them agreeable if they were given an offer. Because the worst thing you do is have a character not think through their goals and then go, oh, there's actually no reason for me to join this party. Mm. Oh, dear. Whereas with Chrisop, it's just, you know, he's on a bounty hunter and they're like, we're on a great big hunt. Do you want to join? It's like, yeah, sure. Great. But so, it also means I don't bring in any like baggage with me or baggage that distracts from the actual story.
And Grizzop's attitude to things is very different from Zolk's. Was that a sort of an intentional, again, a reversal almost to play the opposite type? Or did it just come naturally once you'd formed the rest of the character?
A bit of column A, a bit of column B. We wanted to make him very different from Zolk because also this is a recorded medium. So I don't want to just play the same character again because, well, it's pointless, right?
Well, there was another aspect as well which affected specifically like the character's race and so on, which was... when we started this, way back when, we had a very clear sort of goal in the first episodes, which is if someone wants to listen to this from the start, it has to be, even if they have never played a game before, they can do that. But part of that meant that the original four had to a degree, be quite vanilla. By which I mean, you know, you had a healer, and we picked the most healery of the healers. A rogue, who was the most sneakiest of the rogue. You know, like, we went very kind of straight down the middle and went big on character backstories and so on.
We did go for almost the most classic party makeup possible.
Yeah, but it wasn't an accident.
They were very familiar, like, tropes as well. We had the human rogue, and then, like, you know, you had a dwarf and a halfling.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't an accident. We presented people with things where it's like, you don't recognize all these things. The only thing that you may not be aware of is rules. Okay, we can work with that. Mm. Well, when it came to Chrisop, we've done that. I don't feel like I need to explain to you how a turn works or what the initiative order is and things like that. But part of that as well means that condition for you have to be quite a vanilla choice doesn't actually apply anymore. And yes, the backstories are interesting, but now you can play a goblin. Okay, go nuts. So you want to play a paladin who's ranged? It's an unusual choice. Yeah, please.
As somebody who, somebody on the forums asked, is like, oh, so how did you build Chrisop? And I realised he's actually overpowered.
Oh, yes.
He's actually overpowered because goblins have like, I think they call them RP. So he's a plus 10 RP species because goblins get +4 to dex, which makes him quite powerful.
+4 dex is quite powerful. A standard race in Pathfinder is 10 RP, so I don't know.
Oh, okay, it might be.
Well, I don't know.
I know that it's goblins are considered important. Overpowered.
I have no idea what that means.
So what it comes down to is picking goblin versus a human.
Yeah.
Yes, the goblin has some weaknesses, but generally it's considered that the strengths that the goblin has to balance that out are so effective that if you lean into that, you can end up coming out the other end.
If you're a min-maxer and a power gamer.
The fact that as a goblin, he has quite low hit points, is made up for by the fact that he has +4 dex.
Like, the crazy high dex means that Ben, if he wanted to, could build an incredibly powerful character.
And also, as a
who is both better at Sasha than the Sasha things and better than the Bertie things. Like, it is possible.
And also, as a paladin, I have really high hit points. He's really high.
And that cancels out. You see what I mean? So he's
a very powerful character, but I'm playing him in a way which doesn't stamp on other people's stuff.
It's very kind of you, Ben.
Well, no, it's not. It's not
so benevolent.
Oh.
Benevolent.
Oh, glorious.
Yeah. Yes.
Gently benevolent.
And that's the sound of what happens when Ben suppresses the sudden realisation.
So I think, you know, Zolf was a very much loved character, and there was certainly some disappointment initially when he left, but after a few episodes of Grizzop, certainly the fan reaction seems to be very positive. I've certainly enjoyed...
Grizzop.
Yeah, I think he's fit. He has fit in very well.
It's harder to punish him.
I like Grizzop, and Sasha's begun to not resent him. So that's progress.
Okay, I think we're going to take a break there. When we come back, we'll talk about the other major transition we went through. Not just a character transition, but a player transition.
Hey, Helen. We won't need to be quiet any longer.
Oh, fantastic.
See you in a minute.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
And welcome back. So the other thing that happened during season two was James unfortunately decided that he was going to have to leave the podcast.
We finally got rid of the baggage.
So my understanding is that he basically realised he just didn't have time to keep attending recording sessions. He has a baby, he has a lot of other things in his life, and he had to make some very sensible, mature prioritisation choices. Mm. So how did he let you know about that, Alex? So
I'm presumably... off! Hey, see ya!
Mid-recording! Like, the rest was just Franken-voiced. It was a nightmare. No. Yeah.
As the GM and the director, obviously came to you to discuss this. So, sure. So how did that first conversation go?
Well, as much as I hate saying it, he handled it really well. I want to paint the picture of him being a horrible, egotistical monster, and he just wasn't. Mm. He let me know well in advance, and we knew how much time we had, more or less, to play around with, and he was willing to stick around till it made narrative sense rather than just, I'm out, I can't do this anymore. We certainly worked the recordings around his newly decreasing schedule, and part of that as well was...
Turns out babies are really hard work.
Yeah.
Until they're old enough to take part in recordings, and then the whole thing just comes full circle.
Training the apprentice.
But what did happen with James is we had to have a lot of talks about the nature of leaving, because did he want the character to NPC? Did he not? And we had a lot of discussions where it's stuff like, the one problem was Bertie had a very clear, like we said, that ironclad reason to adventure. Mm. Well, that kind of precludes him just sort of going, I'm quitting adventuring. I'm now going to go over here. Like, the side quest was just about manageable, but literally just wandering off when the party's saving the world on a daily basis didn't really mesh. And same with retiring. That wasn't an option. So it kind of started to make itself as a decision.
Yeah.
So you knew he was going to die before he died, basically. Like, how much did you have to fudge things to actually get Bertie to die at the right moment in that case?
Yeah.
A really powerful wizard, which is a really big fudge.
And like, and you said it up before as well with the Condrain. Like, he had that battle with the Wraith, which really badly.
Peeking behind the curtain there. Yeah. So more or less then was when we knew which way the wind was blowing. The Wraith, I had already programmed in. However, the fact that it absolutely totaled Bertie's hit points was a happy coincidence. There was a reason it was targeting Bertie specifically. Admittedly, from GMing, it should target the tank and blah, blah, blah. Like, I didn't have to break the game to do it. When it came to actually the fight with Kafka, again, it played out. I've been very lucky in how it played out. At no point did I break the game. At no point did I fudge rolls or anything like that. What I did do is take an enormous risk and make an effectively unbeatable enemy unless you targeted the book, which I had banked on Bertie not having the nous to do unless someone said, which is also the reason that I immediately feeble-minded Hamid.
So he couldn't say target the book.
I used the most powerful spell that I could to immediately take Hamid out so that he couldn't tell Bertie.
Hamid was about to target the book, and yes, indeed did, even once he'd been creatureified.
But even that, like, that managed to serve a really powerful kind of plot purpose, because we see just how dragony Hamid is. Like, it wouldn't have been... It's like, in feeble-minding Grizzop or Sasha... or Bertie would not be interesting. There's no monsters for us to turn into.
But I had no idea, here's another peek behind, that Hamid was going to do that, or the Bryn was going to do that. So the description for feeble mind is that they just, effectively, they have a temporary ego death, let's call it, until someone heals them. And
I ran with it.
Bryn just went, I got a plan, I'm doing this, roll with it. Okay. Oh, okay, yeah, I can do. Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
I did give a wink to Alex beforehand, basically just saying, trust me, because like me and Alex have such a good relationship
and we've
at this
been
point
playing in, for years
in terms of our, and we both come from improv backgrounds, so we both will just riff off each other quite strongly and easily, and I think we both at this point trust each other with where we're going.
I mean,
with
here's,
that kind of
here's
thing.
Another
as opposed
behind.
To canon, Alex and Ben hate each other.
No, we do. We do. I mean, it's hard to sit here next to him, honestly.
He's only there because I made sure he was contractually obliged.
Here because I have this voice.
And he only has that voice because Alex has done cruel and terrible surgeries.
My throat.
The pain is indescribable.
So with Bertie, every single thing that happened, I didn't have to fudge any dice rolls.
Yeah.
But I confess it was due to me manipulating circumstance deliberately. And also when it came to the killing of Bertie, it took a lot of discussion with James because James was having a lot of tension with the character because on the one hand he wanted the character to, be a heel. He wanted the character that people love to hate. But at the same time, it can be difficult for people to accept having an ignominious death. So eventually I agreed to get James to sort of take it on faith. James didn't know that the I'll kill both of you move was going to happen. He just knew that I was going to present a choice and he could decide in the thing. And then I just made it worse because that's what I do. But
we respect his
So what you're saying is that James chose Bertie's death because he could have allowed himself to die heroically.
Yes, but I leaned the deck so heavily in his in one direction, if I'm honest. And I also explicitly said the right move is to die ignominiously as the heel that Bertie is. Like, I had a lot of discussions with him about it and we came down on the same decision.
But it was still his choice in the end.
If he'd have decided the other, there was I had a get out of jail.
it's worth mentioning as well that this is a problem that really only exists for a recorded.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I was about to say.
If James wanted to go out on a high and it was a private game, then go for it.
Well, yeah, why
as long as the player's
I?
Happy.
Yeah.
But for the narrative.
Yeah, so if you're playing your own game at home and this comes up and someone needs to leave and you want them to die, you know, that is you can build a very hard encounter and you can try and make it narratively satisfying, but you probably won't have to work quite as hard as Alex did to make sure it helps everything and the whole story that the game as a whole is telling.
Well,
and obviously the much more common outcome is someone dying by accident, which hasn't yet happened in Rusty Quill.
You say that. You've just been brought back to life a lot.
You've come incredibly close.
Like in Q, we were literally like we were a dice roll.
Q, I nearly TPK'd you because I miscalculated. In Beneath the Catacombs, you nearly got TPK'd and then did, but you at least made it to the sort of hard reset.
The save point.
You made it. You made it to the save point. If you hadn't made it to the bridge, I was in trouble. Since then, there's been cases where I've never had to fudge a roll, but I have gotten squeaky bum.
Massage the story.
A little bit.
The point where Sasha drops and and then Bertie fell on top of her. She was literally one turn away.
Yes.
From
Yes,
that's true. Bleeding out. If Zolf had.
And the longer things wrong, unfortunately, the more okay it is for a character to accidentally die.
Yeah.
Grizzup to accidentally die when he's just gone. Hello. Oh no. Like, that's not great. Yeah. But
this isn't Goblin Quest after all. He's just a goblin on a quest, guys.
I'm just saying, if Hamid died accidentally, he's been with us enough for it to hurt. So I'd probably just be okay.
You monster!
With that.
Don't you dare.
So what? One
whereas on the other hand, I'm just like Sasha's choices.
Sasha's
probably
a ticking
get
time
her,
bomb.
Like I have genuinely expected her to die, and sometimes as you make choices that make sense for her, like one of the few.
It's almost more tragic for Sasha to keep coming back.
Well, yeah, I mean he's punishing her. He's punishing her for succeeding. Like there's definitely like with her, I have a bit of a rule. Like once she starts showing off, she keeps showing off. Like so.
Well, it's an improv rule. Pour petrol on that fire.
That's
you have a problem. Make it worse.
Once she gets hyper, and I'm going to save the world. Like she goes out and she keeps going off on her own. And so in each of those times, it hasn't gone well for her.
Rogues, am I right?
Yeah.
So one bit of advice I think we should give to people who aren't running it for a podcast as well is if a player wants to leave and they decide they want to have their character die. Let them go out with a bang and not a whimper. It's much more satisfying to leave having felt like...
Unless they're also playing a horrible racist. I mean, that seems less likely in your games.
But that's still a bang. Like, that was a character decision that fed into and made dramatic sense. Because it's the most disappointing thing is saying, I'm leaving this game, and the way you go out is just going... You know, like feeling like it was an accidental death.
Whereas, like, if people are staying around, but the character dies, then you've got something really interesting where that person gets a new character, and there's the like, well, we just lost. There's like the wound, and you can grieve over that, like, and it makes everything really real.
That's one thing about character death as well. I think personally, only a session's worth really of mourning, because you know, unless it serves story purpose, it can just be very depressing to just be mourning somebody.
And we've kept the mourning pretty light up to the end of season
nobody
2.
Nobody liked Bertie.
But given that we've just ended up in Cairo, I can't promise there won't be more mourning for Hamid's sister in the beginning of season 3.
So sometimes there's a good reason to do it. But again, if you're running a game for yourself, you're there to have fun. Unless you're all having fun wallowing, but it can start to bleed into your real life.
Speaking of tragedies.
The other exciting thing that is happening in season 3 is that we have Helen joining us full time as a regular cast member. So Helen, how did you first get involved in Rusty Quill? Who contacted you first? Because you've known both Lyd and Ben for a while, is that true?
Yes. Lyd and I go back to...
We go back surprisingly far.
Yeah, to 2010 when I was still in university. Yeah, and
I was drunk in front of Charlie Brooker.
Yeah, and I told Charlie Brooker about my sex blog.
and Connie Huck's like agent came and quietly took me away. She was like, you're being quite drunk in this conversation. But then we actually had a really good conversation. I was like, okay, you can go back now. But it was a complicated time. We were both very young.
Yes, God, so young. We met in Edinburgh. Then I met... Where did I meet you? But
Video Brains.
Video Brains, yes, that must have been it.
Either that or the first Nine Worlds. I think it was Video Brains.
Yes, and then we went and did a talk at Nine Worlds together.
Yes.
About role-play gaming and BioWare and relationships, right?
I think that's the thing I first saw you, because that was that also with Meg and Grant?
We were also... I was on that panel.
I was on that panel too. That was what we spent an age just talking about.
And contributed loads, Ben. Yeah. Just let me say.
To be fair, I was an add-in.
Like, basically, we've got... Like, Helen just tends to give amazing content at these kind of events, like whether it's Video Brains, which is an event that's about video games and being brainy about them, or Nine Worlds, which is geek culture and nine of them. I don't really understand that.
It's an Asgardian Norse thing.
See? Great content!
We said that was great content!
So there's the thing where, like, Helen keeps saying interesting things, so kept going to her talks, and then I was like, hey, be our friend! And
I don't know. I feel like I was like, no, be my friend, because I've just moved to London and I don't have any friends.
Well, allow me to like pop this bubble. I'm an incredible corporate shill and had none of these human trappings of emotion to interfere.
So literally, Alex put a message on the Slack being like, so we have to think about what our candidates would be, and both me and Ben messaged simultaneously. Helen Gould, we should ask Helen. Helen's, yeah.
And then I proceeded to ask other people rather than just going, yes, I will take what. Yeah, and everyone said the same thing.
Yeah,
it made things both very easy and very.
You both presumably knew Helen. You've been a role player for a while.
Yes, since 2014. Yeah,
yeah. So you're not new to the game to gaming.
No, not at all. I've done a lot of playing. It has been, it's a really good thing for me in terms of, like, I like performing and I like writing stories and I like being around people and I like having a laugh, and role-playing is sort of all those things for me. So it's fun.
We'll get the laughing part out.
We can all sympathise to differing degrees. Alex just likes making money from our labour.
Yes, that's me. Corporate shill, rolling
shill.
In it. That's me.
So,
just
Alex,
so much
corporate
money.
Corporate shill Newell.
So much money.
Mattress money.
I was like, do I quit and just, you know, live in a giant mattress? No.
Just rolling in gold. This room is actually soundproofed with gold. That's what your Patreon money goes to.
I'd have used platinum, but I felt like slumming it.
So, Alex, you'd had these strong recommendations for Helen. Was there much of a search process? Did you just have a chat to Helen first? And then obviously Helen joined us for the Beowulf special. Was that like a trial run? Was that like an audition, basically? Or how did it end up working out?
So my end, there were a few candidates I was chatting to and having sort of meetings with. And a lot of it sounds unglamorous, but honestly a lot of it can come down to just logistics. You can chat to someone and think they're the best person in the world. It's like, when are you free? One Thursday every 3 months. Great, I can't. No. What can I do? I'm sorry. So we had a meeting which went really well, I think.
Yeah.
I had a lovely time.
Yeah.
It was great.
You were late.
I was. My train stopped for 10 minutes and I just sat there going, I'm late to someone else's interview. I'm the worst. Why? Why did I not set up earlier from my platinum encrusted desk chair or whatever? But in fairness, a lot of it was the fact that the second that we started talking about the game world, you weren't like, yes, that's interesting. You're like, wicked, what about this specific thing? And then we just chatted for ages about incredibly nuanced bits of the campaign world that most of the party are never going to find.
Yeah, you kept going, they don't know about this yet, but... Alex did sort of send messages to me and Ben, and like, yeah, no, good recommendation.
Yeah, that cool. Worked. Well, we like Helen. Yeah, and then, the Beowulf one was, and again, this is me being perfectly candid with you, Helen,
Behind the curtain.
I have met many lovely people who are good at gaming. I have met many good people who are lovely and good at performing. I have also seen both behind a microphone go wrong in different ways. I've seen people lock up and just go, and like in TV and stuff, it's called staring at the void, you know, where people just lock up and they see 10,000 people are behind the microphone, sort of. And the other
not
one,
on this podcast.
I've seen people just sort of go off on one. And
three people and a dog.
Brutal's listening.
We all know by name. Hey, guys!
Yeah, I do this for the dogs.
But in fairness,
now there's a t-shirt.
So that's why I speak at only a frequency they can hear. It's a much better experience if you're a dog, this podcast.
Remind me to pitch shift that down sometime and you can just hear, hello, dogs. I love you, dogs. Dogs are brilliant.
Oh, you are very good boys
and
girls.
Who's a good girl? Who's a good girl?
Actually, it just comes across as a hiss. But no, like, honestly, when it came to the Beowulf thing, all you needed to do is not be awful. Like, that's being honest.
Wow, it's a high bar.
Hang on a minute.
So a little bit also peek behind the curtain. I failed my audition.
What do you mean?
Well, way back when. Because Lottie was going to be cast instead of me. I was there.
Oh, yeah, very true. That's true. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, no,
what happened to
Lottie? I was very open about
she got a better job at Blizzard.
I was very clear from the start, and I was very open with Ben, which is that I'm not a fan of like really heavily male dominated games. I think it's an issue in the industry. I think it's an issue with podcasting. I think it's an issue with gaming. And that was always on the cards. However, unfortunately, again, logistics trumped. And in fairness, I think it's all worked out quite well.
And also, to be fair, I was an unknown because I didn't know anyone really.
So me, Bryn, James and Lottie were all in an improv troupe for years. Yeah.
And I had worked with... Yeah. All of them before.
And I genuinely joined basically because I was like, I had tried playing long running role playing games in the past. We played one, was the Vampire Hunter one, and Vampire the Requiem. And I kept missing so many sessions because life is busy and I'm not good at committing to regular things that they kept making it like, oh, Lyd isn't in the podcast. Okay, she was unconscious. That means next time, the next episode that she's here, she's got fewer hit points and more ghost powers. And,
how long before you just became Jeebus?
I mean, that would have happened eventually, I think. But like that, if, you know, so I was like, what I want from it is seeing my mates from the improv troupe again, because like we like having projects and making things
absolutely.
Together. That's been something we've done for years. It's been great. And James is very busy, so it's hard to hang out. And I wanted to actually play a game, and I knew I wouldn't if I didn't have like
plus
an
all of that mattress money, like. Things must be so easier since you're in that mansion.
Also, I'd like to issue a correction. If Lyd was playing a vampire hunter, it would be in Hunter the Vigil, not Vampire the Requiem. I apologise.
We weren't vampires.
This
we
is
were
why I actually
vampires.
Hate Ben in real life. Hunter, honestly, it's a real thing.
The World of Darkness game.
Yeah,
Hunter
that was it.
The Vigil.
Yeah, that.
Anyway, Helen,
so,
getting.
Yeah.
Getting
back. Sorry,
basically, shut up, Helen. I want to talk about myself.
Basically, this was sold to me as hanging out with my three improv buddies again. And then
have you spent
up.
Years with your improv friends? Yes, that's what human emotion
then
is.
Then Ben turns up.
Yeah,
and
not just some guy.
I'm like, who's this guy?
That's really interesting to me that you didn't know each other.
No, the only way that I... Okay, so, just quickly. The only way that I...
Okay, let's all talk about Ben.
Don't mind us while we all talk about ourselves.
Ben Meredith's show.
This is the weird insular thing about being a nerd around London.
Yeah.
Is that
I knew Ben's brother.
Yes, so Alex and Bryn knew my brother through improv at the University of Nottingham, where they both went to university. And my brother's partner said, oh... this person I know is doing a RPG podcast. You're a massive nerd. Why don't you get in contact and audition? So that's how that happened. So that's why I didn't know anyone. So I was a complete unknown. Like, I was some person's brother.
You know that prayer, like, God, give me the confidence of a middle-class white
boy? Yes.
It's a hell of a drug.
Of course.
You're a nerd. Why don't you do this show?
I didn't have to audition at all. I just walked in.
To be fair, like the 5 years of Fat Kitten was our
Alex
audition.
Has seen me perform several times, and we've also gamed together before. So, you know.
There weren't much in the way of wild cards.
But anyway, that is enough about me.
Back to Helen.
Helen, brand new voice who we've all succeeded in giving 3 minutes of our time to.
It's okay. I'm enjoying learning all about your lives.
Don't enable them. Don't enable them.
So we had the best time recording Beowulf.
Genuinely my favourite episode.
Cried with laughter.
I actually tore something inside
it
myself.
Was so
oh
funny.
Dear.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
I think also just the general decision to have that curse, which led into
incredible,
the like
incredible.
Powered so much of the fun of the
game. So the thing is, I only picked Unremembered because it was alliteration with Ulf. I was just like, what begins with you? Unremembered. Let's put a witch in there as well.
Either way, it went down rather well and everyone's pretty much came down on the same thing, which is that it was brilliant, it made it quite easy.
The best we'd done.
I think we also had some affirmation where, I think it was on the forum or something, and they were like, you're having Helen back, right?
Yeah, of course we did.
Yeah. Oh, just so everyone knows, like, I do live on compliments.
Feed her.
I mean, and obviously, when I say that was an audition, it wasn't just us auditioning you, but it was also you auditioning us. I mean, you had to know that you had fun too.
True. Like, you needed to learn that, yes, Ben is hateful, but he's quite efficient at podcasting. And that's why he's here.
So clearly you must have enjoyed that experience as well.
If you
agreed to come back regularly.
Because this is a weird thing to do, right? Look at what we're doing.
Is it?
Sitting in a really...
Think about how hot this room is!
I regularly sit in a soundproof room.
I think they're a weird... To me, kicking a ball back and forth is weirder than this. Like, I don't see the appeal in that at all, so...
No. I'm with my friends.
Yeah, I know I hate hockey too.
Yeah. Round is his
so
bad.
Many broken toes. And of course, this is logistically easy for me because I literally live like 8 minutes away by train.
In fairness, I didn't know at the time. I was just like, oh, yes, logistics.
What a life that would be.
Yeah. And we haven't even got to Helen's
in from a different
yet.
City so. Every day.
All right.
Every day.
3 minutes from my character.
I think we might have to run a bit longer than that.
We'll be fine. So the last thing, of course, is you're coming into this established game. It's been running for a couple of years and you didn't know it. So you weren't a listener to the podcast. So you didn't know anything about it.
I had no idea.
Was that a very strange experience for you?
Yeah, I did. I considered, should I listen to this whole thing before I get... And then I just like, no, don't do this. Why would you punish yourself with all of
this? Hey! Punish yourself!
She's right. She wasn't here. It's all a waste of time till now.
Helen is basically saying that everything that occurred before she arrived is garbage.
It's punishment.
And you shouldn't bother listening to any of it.
You'll get along with Ben really well.
Excellent.
What I mean is 80 hours is a very long time, and I also do
a
not
fun
have...
and adventure and laughs with the whole gang. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And it would give you a more authentic character reaction if you found out about things live.
Yes, that was absolutely the primary reason. Not laziness at all.
But to be fair, that has paid off. It will be episodes
multiple
that have been
times.
Out, but in recordings we've had, there have been some moments where we say something and Helen's no! kind of like,
no!
It's because I absolutely love gossip. So, like, some of Hammer's backstories come out. I was like, he did what?
OMG.
Hashtag spoilers.
What's the tea?
Yes, it was interesting coming into this, like, fairly, like, just not knowing what had happened. But I did know that Bertie was, like, a tank and not very likable. That was like the one thing.
So did that influence your character creation? So you knew that essentially, you know, as we talked about, that the party is made up of archetypes and, you know, we had several archetypes covered and the archetype we didn't have. Did that feed into your character creation process?
Absolutely. But then I've always liked playing tanks anyway. And I have two main genres of character. One is happy-go-lucky, very likeable, very yes, everything will be great character. And the other one is like, I hate everything. I'm going to hit it with a big sword.
You can do both.
I am very happy and also hitty. So that was.
So here's a question then. Ooh. This is from my end. Mm. How did you find character creation for this? Because obviously I'm always sort of looking at it with an eye to the knowledge that I already have about the game and running it and so on. How did you find character creation? Bearing in mind that this is the only time you'll get the chance to go, it was awful, I hate you, this is terrible. And I'll just go, feedback. And pretend that I'm listening.
It was really useful. So what Alex did is he gave me a big, long list of questions to answer. Some of them were just like, what is your name? And then some of them
What's
were like...
What's your PIN code?
Mother's maiden name.
First pet.
All the basics.
I've never had a pet.
Oh. Oh.
Well, I had a mouse that I put in a bucket and then it escaped.
So your character.
No, I'm sorry. Remember we were talking about the quality content.
You have to be really careful now you're part of this team because that will end up in the Magnus archives.
The Mouse Bucket, episode 1612.
What was it? Yes, character creation. Yeah, so it was. Some of it was just like, oh, what's your name? And some of it was like, oh, what is your deepest fear? And I was like, oh my gosh, I have never gone into this much detail.
Well,
about
how else am
character.
I going to hit your character with things that make them sad?
Yes, I was also aware of that, but I did it with a genuine...
I really feel like we should have warned you more strongly about what Alex will do to
I
you.
I actively tried to make sure that didn't happen.
Yeah, I want to hear more about this character creation thing. Like, because so you picked neon pink? All these...
Yes.
So we're not going to talk too much about the actual details of your character today, Helen. So that we get the proper introduction in the actual story in the main podcast as when the new season starts airing.
Which we
again.
Already recorded because podcast land is weird and you record out of sequence.
So we're just a few episodes ahead of you guys right now. So you knew that you might have to be a tank in order to fit into the party mechanical dynamic. Did Alex tell you very much about the other dynamics of the party? How much did you consider how well you'd fit in with the other characters? I mean, it's perfectly okay to say I didn't, because it's not necessarily essential.
Most of it has actually been quite a lucky coincidence. like, I knew the classes of the other characters. I knew their general sort of... So I was like, oh, yeah, Sasha's a sneaky rogue. And actually, no, I can't remember any... Like, mostly I knew that Sasha was a rogue. And
that's basically her entire characterization.
I actually think she'd be happy with you only knowing that.
Yeah. Like, yes, success.
So it influenced me somewhat, but also Alex was very reassuring. He was just like, we'll make it work. Yeah. Whatever you want to do. Just tell me what you want to do.
You knew enough to make a character that you knew would fit in with more or less whatever you encountered. You're not the kind of person who's going to make a character that's going to have real problems interacting.
The other thing is as well, like, if it's going to be a long-running thing, I needed to play something that I knew I could play easily and well. And also, I figured I should just go with what I want.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's really important.
If I was going to play, I don't know, what would I really hate to play? I won't say that. That might offend her.
could you imagine playing like a goblin paladin? It'd be the worst.
Well, imagine being stuck playing a character with one leg. I can't imagine...
You wouldn't pick that in the first place.
It's crazy.
I don't know why I've decided.
Ben makes brave character choices.
Let's punish him.
And we think it's great.
There is something worth bearing in mind, which I gave Helen the same criteria that I gave everyone else when they first came on the show, which is don't play a character whose voice you can't do consistently and who has a voice that isn't your own voice because it makes it easier for listeners. There was also a final condition, which I only ever gave Helen and no one else, which was I didn't want you to fall in the trap of thinking you had to be the heel. Because obviously, like, Bertie heading off is taking a lot of the, I'm bored now, I'm going to create drama if nothing's happened. I didn't want you to have to feel like you had to fill in that role and be that person, because then you're being hamstrung. So I was always, I think at least, quite clear that you didn't, you really didn't have to be that person.
I would never have done that anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple of lessons here to take if you're bringing in a new person to your own game at home.
Use Helen.
Invite Helen. She's amazing. She comes with a lot of recommendations.
Yeah. Makes most things better, yeah.
You know, find someone who is compatible with you. You know, the temperament. Like, if you've listened to the Beowulf special, which you should because it's amazing, you'll hear how much we were all laughing. And if you've got that sort of atmosphere, you're going to be having more fun. And I think, you know, that is something that is so valuable, is having a group of people playing a game together that just get on and have fun together.
It's like, we record in 6-hour chunks sometimes, like in heavy chunks, and so we genuinely have to get on, or it would be awful. Like, it's tiring.
Thank God,
right?
The money's good.
Yeah.
It's the joke that keeps on giving right till you die of starvation.
Yeah. Woo, I love this gruel. and this gruel money. So you genuinely actually have to really like each other, and so fortunately we all do, except Ben.
I'm the heel in real life.
and the same applies to your party. You know, you want a group of characters that are going to get on with each other, going to pull in the same direction. And hopefully, again, you know, you guys haven't met Helen's character yet, but we've at least had a few episodes with her, and we are, I think, we're pretty positive about the direction it's all heading in.
Yeah. Makes me happy.
Until Alex finds more ways to torture us all.
The higher up the happiness scale you are, the further I can knock you down. That's what character growth is, right?
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see what happens, kind of, because I feel like my character seems very different. Like, she comes from a very different place to some of the others.
Absolutely.
Like, literally and figuratively.
That's great. That was kind of the point when we set out.
And it's going to be interesting to see if there's, like, a difference in, like, the overall,
like, perspective,
atmosphere,
absolutely.
Especially since there's no longer someone that you just like, oh, go away all the time.
Well, I mean, we've swapped out toxic privilege for literally anything else.
I think James played that character so well, and it worked really, really well. But it's also really nice for everyone to have strong choices that are different choices, like. Picking someone that just seems, at least so far from us, like, straightforwardly lovely. I'm sure that straightforward is the last thing that she is, but it's just like, oh, this is different. And that in itself is brave and interesting.
Brilliant. So if you want to hear how Helen's character arrives and how she integrates into our adventuring party, tune in when season 3 resumes. And until then, bye!
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
If you're not eating much of that.
So you heard it here. Ben also thinks people should only eat meat.
Only. Alex. Stop, right, that'll get that on.
Cutting things is quite easy. I could just cut before you said those words.
Okay. Editor, please.
Cross-talking is the only thing that really...
Should we get started,
if you cross-talk,
guys?
That's
should we get started?
So like, cross-talk is really cross-talking makes it difficult really for them.
In fact, I'd argue that you're probably giving Ed a minor breakdown right now.
I think you're doing it.
The sort of meta...
Well, I spoke really quietly into the mic, so hopefully my voice will pick up really well on my microphone and block out all others so he can isolate what I asked him to do and do it.
He won't.
Ed, do it.
And
just
if he does, because it has to pass through me, I'll just delete it anyway.
Send it straight to me.
Right.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Programme. The Programme audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The program is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about the programme at www.rustyquill.com or www.programmeaudioseries.com or search for the programme audio series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.